1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, super pumped to be here. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We are rocking and rolling. We got some new faces, a new face. We got old faces, old veteran,
really
just leathery Taylor faces and beautiful, young, vibrant, feminine Abby faces in here. And we got Leo, who's kind of rocking this neat, like, I don't know, maybe Johnny Depp mixed with, help me out, somebody who's a Ron Swanson combo.
Oh,
it's a good look.
Yeah.
So, really excited. You've been on the show before, haven't you?
I have.
Okay, fantastic. So, you know the drill. We got fun facts coming up. We're going to be digging into more stuff in the dating realm. He loves me, he loves me not, I believe is the name of this episode. How to know. We're going to be talking. Abby informed me off air that she's a really professional expert on the five love languages. So she's really going to dig into those. It's going to be great. And we're going to be talking more about dating and some of that fun stuff because the algorithm likes it when the word dating's in the title. So that's neat.
Nice,
very excited
really?
About that. Yeah, but before we do that, we have to open in prayer. And since you just showed up, Leo, would you mind leading us in prayer?
Absolutely. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill this room. Help us to truly just convey what you desire us to speak this night. And thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you have given us throughout this day. May we always be eternally grateful for your love, and may we reciprocate that to you, and all in the name of Mary. Amen.
Amen. Son, the Holy Spirit. Fantastic. Now, I'm not supposed to grade prayers anymore on this show. They asked me to stop doing that a long time ago, so I won't give you a grade, but were I to give you one, which I'm not going to do now, it would be like a 91. It was a good prayer. Solid prayer. Yeah. Didn't fall back on the rote stuff. Normally, I take off points for ending it with rote, because we're Catholic, and like it's really easy to just be like, I don't know, Hail Mary, right? There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying, a little bit of pizzazz is neat, but I don't grade prayers anymore, so we're not going to do that. Let's start with some fun facts. You owe us two. It's been so long. You earned one back. So you owe us two fun facts, Leo, and you guys just owe us one. Because you were just here last week, and you haven't changed your clothes, which is uncomfortable. But here we are. I haven't either, so it works out. Right, every episode of Honest to God is filmed live.
That's right.
On location. Somewhere. Yeah, I'm not sure where we are today. Somewhere in the middle of the Mount, is it Katahdin? Is that the mountain in Maine where the Appalachian Trail ends?
Oh, I don't know.
I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to go there.
Yes.
Sounds cool.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. It's right outside. All right, Leo, what you got? Two fun facts for us.
I would say one is I like recognized Abby, and we actually ended up meeting at an Eka retreat earlier this year in May or something.
Yeah, in April.
Yeah. And they were passing around their baby, and like part of the Echo, the person that was running it was like, hold a baby. That was part of the talk, and so I was like, can I hold your baby? And that one here.
That's really cool. I like that. What is an Echo retreat?
It is a retreat on the theology of the body, like the work of Saint John Paul II.
Sure.
And it's basically just diving into that. I was on a 2-day retreat. They also have like, I think, week retreats. Mm-hmm. And maybe even longer.
But. You speak at those, don't you, Abby? Haven't you spoken at some of those?
Super. I do,
What do you talk about?
So I've given the same talk. I'm going to do it for the third time this spring. And it's different every time, but the main talk that I give is about redemption. So the fall of man and then man's redemption. So I think the title of my talk is Man and Woman, He Redeemed Them. And it's one of my favorite things to talk about.
That is super cool. That's beautiful. Doesn't count as a fun fact, though. Leo, you owe us one more.
Fun fact.
Doesn't even have to be about you. You know, like a neat fact about wildebeests or something? Possums.
I guess I'll just say, I had a stroke last year, and I got thrown in jail because of it. So
We can't just let that rest. No, I really want to hear the rest of that story.
Basically, they thought I was like under the influence, so they put me in jail for like 2 hours. And they finally figured out that I had a stroke, and then they sent me to the hospital.
Well, no way.
I'm all good now.
You're all good? Everything's okay now? Oh, praise be God. Yeah, absolutely. That is terrifying. That is the probably amongst the worst things that can happen while you're having a stroke is getting arrested.
Yeah, I honestly kind of was like, I know I'm not on drugs, so, like, this is kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be a great story one day.
Two of the most fun things put together, right? Serious medical complications and prison time. Yeah. All right, that was really good. I don't know if it was fun, but that was a really good fact. I like that a lot. That's a good fact. All right, what you got, Abby? You show us one.
Oh, man. I love to knit. I've been knitting for 15 years. My high school, like, phone receptionist, like the lady that answers the phones at my public high school, she taught me to knit during my study period, I think when I was a junior in high school. And I've been knitting ever since then. I'm about to finish a sweater. Taylor can testify that I've been knitting for a really long time.
That's
and I love
really
it.
Cool. My daughter, my 11-year-old, she can't knit. She can crochet.
Right. Yep.
And she's got a sewing machine. She got one of those for Christmas a few years ago. And she sews all the coolest stuff.
The coolest stuff. Sewing it's machines. So, neat. So I learned how to sew too, and actually sew quilts. But I almost preferred sewing for a while because sewing is much faster than knitting. You can make a lot of cool things in half the time with a sewing machine. But I do like knitting because it's a long game and it's portable. You can take your crafts with you wherever
you go. See, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, you can't take a sewing machine with you, but you can.
I've had a couple of girls over the years in my class who will just sit like while I'm lecturing and just
Yeah.
And I think it's the coolest thing ever.
They're like, look at this scarf I made or look at this hat. It's
pretty I've gotten some pretty cool like merch that was made in my class. I had a girl last year who made me a gecko. It's like a green gecko that she knitted together and stuffed with some polyfill. Yeah, it was really, really cool.
Nice. That's cool.
Right. Yeah. What about you, Taylor? You like to knit? It's okay. It's super, like, it would be neat.
Cool. Last episode, I had mentioned something about you from high school. So I guess I'll out myself here from high school. I was Danny Zuko in our...
No way. You were in Greece.
In our rendition of Greece.
I can see it.
Make him sing a song.
No, I will not sing the songs.
I don't think you can sing any songs.
I wasn't very good, no.
Wait, you did Greece as a high school musical?
It was a California public school system.
Totally, yeah.
Still. Did they heavily edit some of the lyrics?
They did.
I mean, super catchy, don't get me wrong.
There were some songs that were completely scrapped, some parts of the plot that were completely scrapped. Uh-huh. But I was Danny Zuko. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool. All right. I like that a lot. I can totally see it. You got the hair for it, too. Did you do the whole, like, down in your face?
Yeah, pretty much.
I was a musical theater guy.
Oh, really?
Dude, I did. Okay, so I couldn't sing. That was my problem. But I was, I played LeFou in Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yes.
I always got the parts in the musicals with, like, the funny voice or something because I couldn't sing. And so, like, well, we'll have this guy. You're still going to sing. I was the Wizard in The Wizard of Oz. I did a lot of musical theater stuff.
That's awesome.
I loved it. Yeah. The last time I was on stage was in a hot air balloon being lifted up as the wizard senior year, like April or whatever. I kind of miss it. It was super cool. Yeah.
Taylor's dad was an LA actor, so I feel like it's in your family.
Yeah.
That is really cool. Yeah, I love it. One day when I'm old, I don't have kids and stuff, I would love to do some community theater stuff. My dad did a Cotton Patch Gospel. If you're familiar with that, it was written by the guy who founded Habitat for Humanity. It's a play, and it's the story of Jesus' life, but it's told in like the 1960s South, and it's really good and not like remarkably blasphemous. Like about like any blasphemy is unintended,
right,
and just because it's a very Protestant nature play, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess it's heresy more so than blasphemy, probably. But it was excellent. He played Peter. I was Jesus one time. Yeah, I got to play just baby Jesus. I was Jesus in the temple. I was Jesus and then somebody else who could sing and was an adult man played Jesus. That's cool. That's awesome. All right, so I wanna get into this topic, which seems similar to what we discussed last week, right? But I guess it's a little bit different. And I think there was a little segment last week when I kind of dug in, when I was more pointed towards you, Abby, asking about like, how can a guy tell? Mm. How do we know? And I do want to talk about some of that stuff. Some of the basic, like, if a girl is interested in a guy or a guy is interested in a girl, we talked a little bit about clarity last time, but like, what can we do? What should we do? How? But I guess bigger picture, right? Let's start sort of at the end and work our way towards the beginning as opposed to going the other way around. How do you know, right? when you love someone. How do we know what love is? Let's dig into the word love. What is it? We're all called, all of you should love me, and I should love all of you, for starters. So before we get into romantic love, like, can somebody just define it for me? Love? Come on.
You're really good at defining things.
Oh, you've just spoken at theology in the body con. What do you mean you can't define love?
I mean, I feel like I can give the clear classic definitions, which is willing the good of the other for the other's sake.
Yeah.
I feel like that's I don't know. But yeah, well, so what does that mean? Like, what does that look like?
Right.
You know, right. Practically speaking. And I think it matters, like, to the object of your love is, you know, for sure, in a lot of different ways. Like, I don't love my mom the same way I love Taylor, the same way I love my kids. Like,
right.
And I love pizza. You know, like, those are all different things.
But it is frustrating, right? I like the languages that give us multiple words for love instead of just having the one word and then having to slog through a priest's homily on agape versus philia once every year.
Ross,
We get it, Father. Yeah. But specifically romantic love, right? Because once again, we're all called, like, I'm called to love Leo and Abby and Taylor and even producer Josh, right? I'm called to love all you guys and y'all are called to love me. But what when we're talking about romantic love, how should we view it? So you might have a more precise... I don't have an answer to this question. I have no idea. So if you don't say anything, it's just going to be dead air on the radio.
Well, I think in... I don't think I'm very good at definitions, but... I think in a lot of ways, it is this exchange in a very intimate way of... And I'm going to get deep, I'm sorry. Like personhood, right? Like I have seen who you are as a person, and I've freely chosen. I love all aspects of it, even the good, bad, ugly, and same with you, right? And I think that is certainly a part of that romantic love is getting that and understanding the other person and really truly loving, or I know I'm using love in the definition here, but I do think that it's this getting to see the person and the personhood of, you know, that
your beloved.
Beloved, yeah, there you go. Right. I'm using the word.
That's all right, yeah.
But it's, I don't know, there's just something about it that it is this expression of, I see you for who you are, you see me for who I am, and I love that about you, and you love me. And that's, I think, the only way that I can really, I guess, describe it in that regard, you know?
How do you, I mean, help me with that. And I know that we literally just like opened the gate and hit it really strong, but you love Abby, I presume. Mm-hmm. Right, romantically, yes. Right? You love Abby. You're sacramentally bound to each other. Given that definition, you just have that exchange of persons, and then I love you at this deeper level. I love everything about you. How do we square that circle of Abby, I assume, is an imperfect human being, mm-hmm. right? How do you love every aspect of an imperfect human being? How do you do that? She has faults, you have faults, I have faults, my wife has faults. Like, I'd need this for my own sake. I don't have an answer. I literally need help. Help me, Taylor.
I don't know why what comes to mind is just like, but doesn't Christ do that for us? Like, even in our own faults, he still loves us and sees us for who we are. And I think it's a reflection of that in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, participating within that. That's at least just, I don't even think that that's answering the question, but I just, that's what popped into my head.
Sure.
The first thing I thought of was like, well, I'm not God. I don't love the way God does. And I want to, but I don't because I'm an imperfect person.
And you're not ever going
to
be able to, right?
Right. Yeah. But I do think that is why moving towards the sacrament of marriage is important for people who love each other and want to love each other more, because in the sacrament of marriage, you're receiving the grace to actually do this thing,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, without the sacrament of marriage, I actually really can't love you very well at all, because I'm relying on my own human power to get this done and to try and achieve this. But in marriage, what we're saying is, like, actually God is entering into this relationship, mm-hmm. and he is going to give me the power. I mean, literally the power to love you well, despite all this different stuff, and to love you even in really difficult circumstances. Like, I think we have some friends that we've talked to before that have asked us, like, you know, do you feel like you know what you're saying yes to on the day you get married? And we're like, oh God, absolutely not. Like, you can't. There's no way you can foresee. Right. And that doesn't mean you're not honest and sincere with your yes to this person and this promise that you're making. You don't have to be able to see the future to be able to make that very perfect and, you know, good yes. And God's still going to use that. But I think that's why marriage matters. Entering into the sacrament of marriage matters, because we have to have the grace to be able to live this way.
We need a supernatural grace to do it.
Yes, yeah. Like, I can't do it on my own. Like, I'm foolish to think I could do it without the Lord. I really am.
Got any thoughts from the resident single guy in the room?
Yeah, I read somewhere that, like, we are able to, like, love Christ's body, like, through others, basically. And so I think, like, marriage is a great example of that, being, like, able to actually love Christ more, like, in a full way, where it's, like, I mean, obviously, like, if you're single, you can obviously love God perfectly by, like, helping others, but it's just, like, by doing, by, like, loving others, you are actually, like, loving, like, Christ's body, like, in a physical way.
Yeah. I think, you know, if we just go with sort of the textbook definition of love as willing to go to the other for their own sake, I think a lot of times we say that, but we neglect to really, like, kind of dwell on the fact that love is a movement of the will. I think that is one of the, like, the best lies the devil has managed to sell to us, right, mm-hmm. in the Western world, is that love is not a choice. There's not a decision made. My wife and I will be married for 15 years in April, so we're just over 14 years. Sometimes when we get into, like, disagreements or we're frustrated at each other, we will say, love is a movement of the will, and I love you very much. Right? And the idea is, like, I don't like you right now at all. All of my emotions are directed against you, but I still love you, right? And I will love you till the day I die. And I think that's actually beautiful and wonderful,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And not something that people are called to. I think this overall sort of series we've been doing is a dating series, right? And that's not what we're necessarily called to in dating. So I guess, like,
yeah.
you know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, it'd be kind of weird if you're on yes. a date and you're just like, oh, this is an inclination.
yeah.
Like, oh, you're making me so upset, right? That'd be very odd.
Yeah, you definitely should do that. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
So I don't know. I guess what's the distinction? Because, like I said, we started big. We started with marriage. We understand what sort of end game, if your vocation is marriage, and what that looks like. But what does it look like in dating? I feel like as we do this series that we started with the last time you guys were on, I'm going to be just constantly coming back to this really frustrating idea of, like, we collectively, the Western world, don't know what it means to, like, form healthy relationships between men and women. Like, we don't. I don't think I did throughout the entire time I was dating my wife. I met my vows when I said my vow. We had a big conversation, Angie and I, where we sat down. We're like, we're gonna make this thing unannullable. We're gonna make sure we're stuck yeah. together. Let's do this. And, like, went through and did all the things and took it very, very seriously. But I still don't think I just didn't have examples around me of how you were supposed to love a woman. And once again, I had great parents, parents. But in terms of sort of our Catholic understanding, right, sort of the rightly ordered, correct understanding of love and marriage and relationships, I didn't have any idea what the heck I was doing. So I don't know. What does that look like when we're dating, if we're talking about love? Because I think it's a totally appropriate thing. In fact, I think a man and a woman should love each other before they get married. They should be willing to make that choice. And I think they can't achieve some level of that without the supernatural grace.
Right.
What does it look like in the dating world?
I feel like one of the things that, and I'm putting on my theology of the body cap right now, but there's four, I think it's Jason Everett actually that talks about, like, these four conditions for love being total, free, faithful, and fruitful. And obviously this can apply to married love for sure, but I'm also thinking when you're dating somebody and you love them, you also have to be willing to let them go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in marriage, right, you're binding yourself to this person, and so you're committing to, like, no matter what, like, we're going to be in this and we're going to go through life together. But when you're dating, like, this, you're not actually married to this person. You're not even when you're engaged, you're not actually married to that person. Mm-hmm. And so there has to be this freedom to let this person walk away from it if it's just not meant to be, I guess. I don't like saying, like, not meant to be, but I don't know. I feel like with dating, it's love and it's honest and it's sincere and it's total in a lot of ways, meaning, like, you're going to give your whole self to it and you're going to dive in and you're going to see if it works and see if it sticks. But I think there also has to be this almost hands-off approach of, like, yeah, but I'm also don't own this person. I don't control this person. If it's not working out, they have the freedom to walk away from it. And like, that can be really risky and scary too. And then to be vulnerable in that relationship and love them well, to say, like, this is what I want to move towards, but I also want to give you the freedom to back out of this if you don't feel like it's something that you're ready for or don't want, or I don't know. And I think that can actually be harder sometimes without that security of marriage. There's, like, a beauty in the security of marriage where you're like, yeah, we're in it. Like, we're doing it no matter what. Whereas dating, it can feel more tricky sometimes because there's not that commitment in that way.
Well, and that whole emotional chastity piece too is such a difficult thing in dating. I see that. Yeah. I see that a lot in sort of the Catholic dating world of colleges mm-hmm. and whatever, where, you know, like, were you guys both at Franciscan?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You remember the whole, like, you would hear, like, the ring by spring comments and stuff like yeah. that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I was there maybe 6 years before you guys or something. But, yeah, that was a thing. I remember girls crying on graduation day because they had not gotten engaged, right? They're like, that was the expectation. 4 years, show up, MRS degree, and now I'm homeschooling 20 kids in a Nissan NV, right? With yeah. a Pray the Rosary, Save America yeah. bumper sticker. That's what's supposed to happen next. And yeah, I think like, did you guys have, like, everything you just said, Abby, did y'all talk about that before you got married? Like, I mean, I don't. I'm just trying to think about how you would. Like, hey, you can leave if you yeah. want, Taylor. I don't even care. No.
But I'm thinking, like, what I saw was being very healthy in our dating relationship that made me think, okay, I think this is going to end in marriage for sure. Like, I think that kind of right from the jump, to be honest. But I think one of the things that set apart our relationship when we were dating versus, you know, other guys that I had dated or tried to kind of have this weird situationship with was that there was a safety in that, like, I wasn't afraid that Taylor was going to, like, leave and be erratic. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew that even if Taylor got really mad at me over something, I don't think he would actually break up with me. Unless it was something, geez, like, really serious that was a deal breaker, I guess, in our mm-hmm. relationship. But I knew that even if I annoyed Taylor, if I did something that he disagreed with or got frustrated at, we miscommunicated about something, that he wasn't just going to get up and leave. And I think he felt the same way about me too. And I think there was, again, a sort of safety in that. But I also thought, like, yeah, that's why we're moving towards marriage, is because right. we want to make this commitment to the other person, because I don't feel like you're just going to leave and walk away. And yeah, I don't know.
Well, I think that's the healthy way to look at it, right? Is that we are moving towards marriage mm-hmm. and these are yeah. good indicators of
right.
not, hey, me and you forever and ever, amen. I love Father Mike Schmidt's got one of those great little Ascension Presents videos where yeah. he talks about how to know if you found the one. And have you seen this?
Mm-mm,
he says, the way to know that you found the one for sure is to look at that person, you both hold up your left hand, and if they have a ring on their ring that you gave to them and you have a ring, then you found the one. Congratulations. Right, yeah. That's them. But anything short of that, right, all of a sudden that becomes a severe breach of once emotional chastity. If all of a sudden you're thinking about this person like she's your wife or your husband, right, when you're not married, that is disorder. And that's hard. It's almost like with physical chastity, obviously, but with emotional chastity too, there's almost like this incline of intimacy that can exist mm-hmm. until you get to marriage, and then it's a stop, and it's either get married or get the heck out of here, because if we breach this, all mm-hmm. of a sudden we're crossing into some lines where we're breaching chastity, right? Be it physical or emotional. And that's a really hard thing to gauge.
Yeah.
I think one thing that we did that was really important was just like the open communication. Like, we talked through a lot of hurdles, almost like benchmarks. It was like, okay, we got past this and we were able to talk through this. Okay, this is a good indicator of where we're at in our relationship. And yeah, we're continuing the march toward marriage as a result of this. But it was never, I don't know, like, I just think that every single time that we would communicate through these, it was just that check mark. Okay, this is good. This is a good positive sign. And we were yeah. able to, like, talk it
green
out.
Green flags.
Yeah.
Green flags. Yeah.
And I think that's also an important part of it, is having that level of communication to actually, it'd be like mature about these things as yeah. well. And in a healthy way, that's not oversharing, right? Where yeah. you're just like throwing all your burden onto them yeah. and whatnot. Cause that's, I don't think it would have been good either. Right. But having a healthy balance of those things, kind of a golden mean, if you will,
right.
of sharing and being open and honest, but not to the extent that you're, you know, freaking them out by yeah. what you're
but
saying.
But also not having something that would be grounds for an annulment, because it's like, you withheld this deep secret, you know, yeah. whatever. Like, but I think sharing it with prudence, yeah, like yeah. sharing with virtue and, yeah.
I wish I could record, like, after we had our pre-Cana class where they were going through all the annulment stuff mm-hmm. and, like, here's what a sacramental marriage looks like. With Angie and I just, like, sitting down, like, rapid fire, like, here's everything awful that I'm worried would prevent, like, oh, no, oh, yeah. okay, oh, no, no, oh, okay. Like, it was mostly her being like, oh, yeah. what? I was like, I'm sorry. I was like, so it's a long time ago. Okay, all right, golly. And it was really good. Like, in yeah. hindsight, I'm like, I'm so glad
totally.
That we did that.
Yep.
Because the whole idea, I mean, we said that so many times, unannullable. We are stuck
yeah.
together.
Totally.
After this, I want to make sure I do this right. I hate to keep jumping back and just saying, hey, Leo, you're not married. What do you think? But hey, Leo, you're not married. What do you think? Like, what are your experience? Like, how do you have healthy relationships as a guy who's not married? I don't even know if you're dating somebody right now.
Yeah, I'm not dating anyone right now. But I will just, like,
chime in with like what you guys said. I think like the time aspect, it's like if you're dating someone, you don't have to be like, okay, like when are we getting engaged, you know? It's like that's also emotional chastity, but it's just like some people can go through that like process like quicker than others. My sister, she just went on the Camino and she met a guy from Italy, like thoroughbred Italian, and she just got married like last week. So like they're like they got engaged and got married within like 4 or 5 months. And like yeah, they were able to, you know, figure it all out. They're also older, so
sure.
But yeah, so like some people, but I think like the time aspect is, and I think like sometimes like depending on how eager one or the other is, it can kind of stress that. Mm-hmm. But like you both, like you don't want to rush these things because it's like it's a sacrament and it's super important and you're going to be with this person for the rest of your life. So it's like if you don't feel like, you know, it's time to get engaged, like don't do it, you know. And also yeah. respect like you know your partner's decision whether they think they're ready or not. That's what I would say. But I would, yeah.
No, I agree. I think we just have this desire for connection that's written on our hearts so much that it's not, I don't think that the desire is at all disordered, right? But I think that a lot of times in practice it becomes, I remember this was actually engraved on my wedding ring as a kind of a joke after like the number one phrase for me and Angie's entire relationship up until the day we got married was like, we'll see. Like, we'll see. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
What do you think about this? Like, yeah, we'll see. Like, if we get married, right? How many kids? Like, okay, we'll see. Right? And so, and she got, we saw engraved on my wedding ring, which I thought was really funny and really neat, right? That wedding ring is currently awesome. At the bottom of the Flint River. It's not this one. I got lost on a canoe trip and it disappeared. But it was a great ring.
That's awesome.
But I just remember it being, I remember it being so difficult because you want so desperately, right? And it's so much harder when you get engaged. Oh my gosh, everything, all the aspects of love and the physical chastity stuff, especially, it's like, oh, we're so close, but yeah, but you're not, yeah. You don't have the grace. You're not married, yeah. Right? The sacrament has not taken place. Yeah. Next segment, aren't we supposed to dig into you guys' whole like little love story? Not little love story, big, beautiful, triumphant, marvelous, earth shattering love story.
Totally, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I would like to do that.
Can I just say one more thing?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want for the next 40 seconds.
Perfect. I would just say like I think like women and men can have like deep relationships as long as you're like prudent with like what you share. Mm-hmm. Like I have one of my best friends, she like we've connected on like spiritual matters, mm-hmm. and so like I talked to her about like spiritual advice and stuff, and like I don't know, I love the relationship, and like she's becoming a nun hopefully next year, and so like that's kind of like cut off like any like sure. romantic ties.
Well, this thing, just like human intimacy is so interesting because I have like what I think are really beautiful intimate relationships with like my male friends now in a way that I didn't have when I was younger. But we can't talk about that right now because we have to go to break. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We'll be right back.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see. I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM. Too.
Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We've got a great day today. We're going to keep rocking and rolling in the second segment. We got Taylor here looking real handsome.
Yes.
He just bowled a perfect game a few minutes ago, which is super cool. We've also got his beautiful bride, Abby, here. And Leo, who has no connection to either of them, is also here. But we're glad you're here.
He held our baby. Yeah.
He held their baby. Yeah, oh, yeah. Like before. You held your baby before the show.
I did, yeah.
Which is really exciting. Yeah. We're talking about this. Another one of our part of our dating series. He Loves Me, He Loves Me Not, How to Know. This episode of Honest God is brought to you by Ken Burns Divorce Court, which is an unfortunate sponsor. And also, as Catholics, we would argue that all marriages, if they are sacramental, are indissolvable in this life until one or the other dies, right? But that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about Taylor and Abby. I said we're going to spend a lot of this segment doing your love story. I don't just want to hear it for the sake of hearing it. Lots of people will like it. I'm sure it'll be super cute and beautiful, yeah. And that is great. But I want to do like a do's and don'ts. Like, man, I'm glad we did this. Mm. What were we thinking when we did that?
Yeah.
Right? And I almost said, what was Taylor thinking? But I didn't want to give in to like that, oh, the guys are always, oafs and whatever. Because, no, sometimes you girls screw it up,
yeah,
too.
Totally.
Sometimes you girls do terrible things, make terrible decisions.
Yeah.
This is not an early 90s sitcom here. This is Honest to God, where women can make bad decisions, too.
They really can.
My least favorite homily every single year is the Father's Day homily, because almost always the priest makes some stupid joke about, well, the best thing a husband can ever say is a yes, dear. Okay, first of all, you don't have any idea what you're talking about. Second of all, like, it's just gross.
Yeah,
we both are right. We're fallen people, both of us, and we both make mistakes, and I refuse to dig into that.
Really?
That being said, I would be much more comfortable hearing about dumb things Taylor did than Abby. I can't help it. It's just something about your femininity and his masculinity.
No.
I'm much more comfortable making fun of Taylor.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So let's start. Let's set the scene.
Oh, man.
We've got little 18-year-old Abby and little 21-year-old.
21.
Yeah. Did y'all meet when you were 18 and 21?
We did.
Yep.
I feel like we'd... like 30 seconds of context, though. I feel like maybe a little bit.
At what? From what?
From from each of us, like context of like before we met, just
okay,
like really briefly. Okay,
great.
So I would say most of my life, most of my childhood, I wanted to be a religious sister, and I think it was because that felt most comfortable to me. Like, I loved Madeline, like Miss Clavel, the lady that takes care of all this, like, little girls, or like. Sound of Music was very influential for me. I loved, when I was in fifth grade, I would pray the rosary every night with Mother Angelica. And I was like, yeah, these ladies get me. Like, I just really felt like, and I also started kind of believing that in order to live a really awesome life for God, this is just what it has to look like, and it wasn't because my own parents weren't excellent, beautiful, married people who love Jesus, but it's almost like they're my mom and my dad. So I was like, oh, okay, but they don't count, because they're mom and dad, and they're gross, But I just didn't have a lot of examples of like really holy Catholic married couples around me. So I just kind of thought like, well, yeah, if I want to live like a really awesome life for Jesus, I just got to be a sister. And that's cool with me. Like, I was totally fine with that. And loved the Missionaries of Charity, loved the National Dominicans, went to their mother house as a junior in high school. I was like, yeah, this is great. Like,
awesome.
Leave me here, But something really changed for me when I was in high school and thought like, okay, God's planting a seed for me to change my perspective on what marriage is, because I met for the first time a really holy, beautiful married Catholic couple that were a part of Family Missions Company. At the time they had one kid. I think now they've got like 12. It's pretty cool. But to see them over the time, but they really like sparked something in me that was like, oh yeah, these people love Jesus with their whole life, but they also love each other. I didn't even really know that was possible, and that they can live this magnanimous missionary life with the Lord and still be married. And so I thought like, okay, maybe there's something to this marriage thing that I was totally missing beforehand. And
I wish all of us had the default of, I should just be a religious sister or a religious brother or a priest. Like, clearly I should do that. Someone must convince me otherwise.
Yeah, I mean,
how great would that be?
Was what it was. And my parents were probably like, okay, whatever. Like, they probably like, this is so weird. But I just really felt like that was so comfortable to me. And so when I dated a guy in high school, it was a great relationship, great little high school relationship. We broke up. I go to Franciscan, kind of like this other guy. But I was also getting really kind of too in my head about, I don't know, putting these guys up on a pedestal, putting these relationships on a pedestal, sort of thinking like, how do I kind of fit this guy in here with the Lord? And I was just making it way too complicated. And the Lord really did a mercy for me and took every guy kind of out of my life and said, you know what? I just really want you to focus on me. Like, I want you to kind of go back to that 10-year-old Abby who only had this single-heartedness for me. Like, let's actually go back to that place for a little bit. And I thought, okay, yeah, that's actually what I need, because I think I just gotten so wrapped up in idolizing dating, idolizing relationships, and kind of missing the Lord in the midst of that. So I think that was really where I was at. But open to dating, wanting to date, but also really just wanting to have this safety with the Lord, which I felt like I had had my whole life. It was like dating was kind of fun and exciting, but scary because I could mess up and it could be vulnerable and hard and I could get heartbroken from it. But there's a lot of safety in just kind of being over here with Jesus. And so I kind of was in that place around the time I met Taylor.
Man, Taylor, way to go. What a remarkably, like, rightly ordered human being. Do your parents, like, write a book? Do they have a book that I could...
I'm going to tell them that. I'm going to send this to them, and they can... Should, yeah. They should
that
all,
That was
like,
the most beautiful endorsement of, like, parenting. Seriously. Like,
I mean, they would probably be like, I don't know. And they're really awesome people, like, truly. Yeah. But they actually came into their faith a little bit later on in their life, which is, like, they're really super cool people. I think Chad can agree. But, yeah, they're really awesome people. And they just learned a lot, I think, over the past couple years, too. Yeah.
All right, Taylor, tell us about you.
30 seconds.
Sorry, that was longer than 30 seconds.
I grew up in California, very secular family. In high school, really fallen away from the faith, and then had a big reversion back to the faith.
You're saying, not your family? Yeah. You personally, yeah.
Yeah.
In high school, you had a big reversion?
Yeah. Okay. My junior year going into my senior year, mm-hmm. had a big reversion to the faith and really was kind of the crazy Jesus freak at my public high school,
mm-hmm.
Which is great, beautiful, big honeymoon stage. And then I served on net. And so when I was on net, that's when I really had a lot of formation and decided that I really wanted to go to a Catholic university, ended up transferring to Franciscan, and it was actually during that time that I was also discerning the priesthood, right? I felt that there might be a call to the priesthood, was discerning that, and then I got to Franciscan, and there are too many beautiful women.
Yeah, big shout out to Franciscan University, by the way. Not as a joke, this episode is actually brought to you by Franciscan University of Steubenville. And I want to give a special pitch to the guys. You can push in on me a little bit, camera. Gentlemen, Franciscan University is like 60% girls to start with. Of the 40% guys, a solid third of them are in, like, pre-theology for the seminary. So I'm just saying, it's a great place if you want to meet a beautiful, wonderful, holy young woman who is, like, in line with, yeah, the church and wants to be virtuous and good. So she's going to be way out of your league. And we have a dirge of good guys, like, just in the world right now. Yeah. So the bar's really low, boys. Like, just be a decent guy. Go to the sacraments. Don't get addicted to pornography. Be nice to your mother and waitresses. And you're going to be better than 90% of the guys out there. Check out Franciscan University. All right, thank you. Sorry, go ahead.
Great odds. Got to Franciscan. Plenty of pretty girls. And so I started asking girls out on dates. Things like that, and oh yeah, from like the last episode, asked a girl out twice that I really, really liked. She said no the first time. I called her bluff, asked her out the second time. She said no, and at that point, I really felt like God was saying, "You need to like relax.
Yeah, take a break.
Like, let's take a break. Let's work on this relationship first." And it was in the midst of that, right, that I was focusing in on my relationship with Christ. That then Abby came along, right? That kind of puts us right at the very beginning, and that gives you the context for us.
So wait, were you a junior when she was a freshman?
No, so I was actually,
oh, because of net.
Yeah, so okay. I had the year off for net. So I actually went and had my freshman year at a secular university,
mm-hmm.
And then went on net and then transferred to Franciscan. Okay. So I should have been a junior, but I was a transfer sophomore.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
At the time.
Okay. Yeah, so the fun thing is, Taylor remembers seeing me for the first time, but I don't remember seeing Taylor for the first time.
Sorry, Taylor.
So, like, we have two different, like, meeting for the first time stories, yeah. I guess. So, the first time I met Taylor was in February of 2013 at Franciscan. We were both involved with this ministry called SENT, which is Student Evangelization Networking Teams. And I did it my first semester and then was asked to be on the leadership team the second semester. Mm-hmm. Taylor applied for it and didn't get it, which I thought was hilarious because he did net. Like, he actually did this for a year. And they're like, nah, I don't think so. Which I just love as a part of that story. So anyway, I'm on the leadership team and I go to training. Mind you, okay, like, I'm from Alabama. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama. So I can, like, appreciate these Atlanta people because we get it. Back in, like, 2012 and 2013. So what I wore to high school every day was a pair of bell-bottom jeans.
Heck yeah.
And Chacos and a T-shirt I got from the thrift store.
You,
like,
go, girl.
That's what I wore every day to school because I was preparing for religious life. I was like, I don't need nice clothes. So I walked into this training February in Steubenville, which means there's ice all over the, like,
yep, it's like
just
5 degrees.
5 degrees, mm-hmm. feet of snow that's all gross and sludge. And I was wearing Chacos and a pair of purple corduroy bell bottoms. Okay. And then, like, probably.
I get it, Taylor.
You know, like, like a sweatshirt.
Yeah, swept you off your feet.
Yep.
And I was going to this training, and I remember we were standing around, and this other leader for these teams was like, oh, I got Taylor Betancourt on my team. That's awesome because he did net. And I was like, I don't know who that is. Like, yeah. I don't, okay. Okay, cool. Like, whatever. So I go through that, the net training. And you can tell your side of the story, but I remember the next, like, I don't know, it was maybe a few weeks later, mm-hmm. I'm not sure, at a daily mass at Franciscan. This is the other cool thing about Franciscan. The positive peer pressure to go to daily mass is insane. There's like 150 people at a daily mass at Franciscan. There's like seven masses a day. But the really popular one was at 4:45. Everyone goes to dinner afterwards. And the priest, his homily that day, I remember, and he's actually the priest that celebrated our wedding mass, said...
I don't remember this part, but okay.
Yeah, he said, like, the whole homily was about, like, let God surprise you. Like, let the Lord surprise you. Because we like to order our days and we like to be in control. He's like, let the Lord just like sweep you off your feet and do something nuts. Like if you just open that door for him. And I remember thinking like, that's okay, yeah, sure. And I remember while I was leaving the chapel to go to dinner and I felt someone touch me on the shoulder. And I'm the kind of person, I'm like, oh God, why are you touching me? Like, why are you talking to me? And I turn around and it's this guy. And y'all, I'm gonna be honest, I was, the first thought that walked through my head was, why is someone as gorgeously handsome as you talking to me?
You are gorgeously handsome too.
Right, because I was like, people that look like you don't talk to people that look like me. Like, you know, or not look like me, but just like, yeah, I'm not used to guys.
I think you're beautiful, Abby. Sorry, I'm just going to keep pumping you guys up throughout the entire talk.
As in, like, I just was like, I'm not someone who guys talk to. Like, I'm not, like, I don't stand out in a crowd. I don't whatever. And he had sought me out and was like, hey, are you Abby? And I was like, what? Like, I almost didn't believe he was talking to me, and I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, are you one of the scent leaders? I was like, yes, you know a lot of things about me. And I'm starting to get a little like, oh, what? And I remember you just like introduced yourself, and it was so normal. But I remember leaving that space being like, oh, that was really interesting, because it caught me so off guard. But then I saw him everywhere. You know, like when you see someone for the first time, and we have a small campus, but it's still a lot of brand new people.
Yeah, a couple thousand people.
And
yeah.
So, but I would see Taylor everywhere after that. So that's.
I just want you to know that I'm picturing you in the purple corduroy, the chacos for the rest of this.
Totally,
tour.
Yeah. I mean, that's
if we get to your wedding, that's what I'm picturing.
I was wearing overalls today, so like not much has changed. But in Birkenstock. So anyway, yeah, that's like.
From my perspective, right? It was kind of that movie moment, spotlight on her. She walks in, and I'm just like, who is that?
The chacos. The bell bottom.
The corduroy. The corduroy. But she was the leader for my roommate and best friend, right? And so that was the connection. And I saw that he was on her team. And so I was like, hey, bud, how about you do some intel for me and you find out whether or not she's whatever, single and all those things. And he was a great friend and did ask those questions. But he had mentioned that Abby was a freshman. I thought she was a junior. And so I was just really impressed by her maturity. And so all I wanted to do was just express how mature she was. And so I just figured I might as well just go tell her. So after Mass one day, I saw that she was at Mass, tapped her on the shoulder, was like, hey, are you Abby, right?
If you're
interested, go. Just, I don't know, go talk to the person.
Yeah, because then we can get really in our head about like, oh, I like that. I'm admiring that person from afar, but I'm actually not going to do anything about it.
Right.
Like, and I think there was a way that you can introduce yourself, make that connection without being weird, without being creepy. And you did it. You did it very well. I'm saying I'm coming across being like, oh, God. But it was more of like my thing than your thing, right? But I think that was really, that made an impression on me. Like, you went out of your way to seek me out, to just introduce yourself, just to start a conversation, because now I see you everywhere.
Well, and this is sort of a sidebar a little bit. I'll try not to get too much of a tangent on it, but also I want to talk about, and going back to the chacos and the corduroy, right? There's a reason that we have different words for things like beautiful and hot, or beautiful and sexy, right? Mm-hmm. And I totally understand the idea of like, hey, this is a really beautiful girl who's not doing herself up and trying to present this, put on this face for the world. I'm not saying makeup's always bad or doing your hair's always bad at all. But I'm saying like that. I don't think that girls realize how beautiful they are sometimes.
Absolutely.
When they're just are, right?
You're mature
and confident in who they are as a human being, and how incredibly attractive that is to guys.
Yep. Absolutely.
And I wish that more girls realize that, because it makes me really sad sometimes when these girls, because it's almost like they're not confident enough or comfortable in their own beauty. And that's lame. Ladies, you're beautiful.
And I think there's a way in which that when you aren't necessarily doing that, but just being confident in your own, on your own beauty, like that sticks out. And I like noticed that instantly about Abby. And that's what really drew me in enough to where I maybe want to go talk to her. And that's really what happened there, right? And then we were on like a first name basis, and then I saw her all over campus. Yeah. And so then I, and Abby will tell you, I'm like one of the most introverted people who will never say hi. I always look like I'm always mad at everyone, at the world. I'm always looking down. I just like don't look approachable sometimes. But every time for the rest of that semester, every time I saw her, no matter what mood I was in, I'd always say, hey, right, yeah, right, and she would say hi, Taylor, and like, and that's all that it was at that,
yeah,
right?
For a long
even
time,
though I'd ask other girls out, right, and but still would be like, hey, Abby, right, yeah, and would still keep that basis, yeah, and that friendship.
Okay, I need to make a pause here because I think this is important for girls to hear. Taylor kind of freaked me out, not in a bad way, like in a good way. I was very drawn to Taylor, like obviously, like physically attracted to him.
Obviously,
but yeah, which is important, right? Yep, very important. 100%. But I also could not deny the fact that I was very drawn to him in like this other way, and I couldn't really put it to words. Like there was almost like a magnetic pull to him, where I'd see him and be like, oh, like what is going on with this guy? Like he's very mysterious. I don't know anything about him, but I want to know more, and I'm kind of freaked out that I feel that way because I'd never felt that way about a guy before. Because every other guy that I had dated or known, I knew a lot about. Like, mm-hmm, the guy that I dated in high school, I had known him since childhood. And, like, yeah, our families were friends. And so it was like, oh, you're not scary to me to date because I know everything about you already.
Sure.
We spent a lot of life together. But I was so freaked out about how I felt because I really didn't know anything about, mm-hmm, him at all. And for me, it was like, oh, dating means, like, longevity. And, like, there's security in knowing someone for a really long time before you can really kind, sure, of date them in this way. And that was like really freaky to me. Also, we get this in the South. People who are from the South look like they're from the South. Do you,
yeah,
know what I mean? Like,
yes, ma'am. Yeah.
We carry ourselves a certain way. Taylor stuck out like a sore thumb.
Danny Zuko over there.
Because Taylor is from California, and every part of him oozed the fact that he was from California. And I was like, oh, what do I do with that? Like, you're telling me you don't wear fishing shirts and chubbies and have, like, a croaky around your neck? Because, like, that was every guy I went to high school with, you know? Like, or Vineyard Vines polos. Like, I was like, you're wearing Sperry boat shoes with socks. Like, what is going on? You know, like, I did not get it. And he had a messenger bag. Like, everyone in high school was, like, high up their backpack, whatever. Like, I was like, what is this guy doing? But, like, I couldn't deny the fact that I was, like, super drawn to him. And so I think, again, it kind of goes back to be open to, like, what the Lord is going to surprise you with. Because, again, if I had only stuck to, well, he's got to look like this, and he's got to have, mm-hmm, this type of clothing, and he's got to be from here and talk a certain way, like, I think Taylor would literally say, like, rad. And, like, he would throw up the shotgun. I was like, ugh, what is that?
Ironically,
you know?
I like that. Yeah, yeah. Okay,
it was
cool.
Like, but I love that. And there's more to that, too. But, yeah, just saying, like, be open. Like, be open to being surprised about who this person is. Because I could not deny the fact that I was very drawn to him, for sure.
I don't want to rush it, but we only have 8 minutes to get you guys married.
Yeah,
so
okay,
what
we're
happens
going.
Next?
We're going.
I'm excited.
So it's going to go fast after this.
We definitely had a good basis there with talking to one another and all that. And then at that point, there was just a mutual interest of, I kind of liked her, she kind of liked me, I found out, and so then one day...
How'd you find out that she liked you?
It was actually, my roommate.
I revealed to some of our friends that I was interested in Taylor, I was describing this, I was very drawn to him. They snitched on me to Chewy, and then Chewy tells Taylor.
Way to go, good friend.
Yes, yeah, a very good friend in that regard. And so then I told Mark, tomorrow I'm asking her out. This is what we're doing. And like we went and I think there was like a man night to have our two beers that we were allowed to have in celebration. Like, oh, I'm going to go ask a girl out tomorrow, right? And this very like, yes. And sure enough, the next day I basically like
followed me to the library,
yeah. Found where she was, like walked around the entire library trying to find her, mm-hmm, right? And there was something deep within me that was just like, you go and you sit next to her.
Yeah.
You be a man and you just sit right next to her.
I love this. Okay.
And so I went and I pulled up a chair and I just said, is there anyone sitting here? And she looked up at me just like, no. So I sat down. I remember pulling out my laptop. It's the middle of April, and I ran. I ran from my room all the way to the library. I'm sweating bullets, and I was like, I can't ask a girl out like this. It's like disgusting right now. So I like relaxed for a second. I typed. I pretended.
Yeah,
right?
Just type.
I would type. What the heck am I doing? And I'd just delete it. You know, as if I knew what I was doing. And so finally, it just like it was. I saw that she had a Bible and a catechism out, and I did the most like Franciscan thing ever. So, you writing a paper for your theology class, right? And yeah. So then I knew back in the back of my mind, conversation initiated, I have to ask her out.
You got to now. Yeah, there's no backing out.
Like, there's, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no way I'm chickening out now. And at the end of that conversation, I finally just said, hey, would you like to go out on a date? Do you want to go
get dinner? Yes, you said the word date. Sorry, that's what we were talking
about. I think so.
I'm going to go with you, Dad.
Yeah. Dinner, yeah.
Clarity, communication.
Clarity, yeah. Yeah, and she said yes, and that was great, right?
So, yeah, we went to dinner.
Where'd you go to dinner? I know.
In our cafeteria.
Well.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. College, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But, no, no, it's okay. Because
she
it was low-key.
Should go to Scafidi's. You ever go to Scafidi's?
Oh, man.
I know.
It was great.
No,
it's terrible now, but it used to be great.
It was. But it was nice because it was low-key. And mm-hmm. it was like, and we went and we sat at a table that was just meant for two people.
Nice.
Which was, and then we just walked. Mm-hmm. We went on a walk afterwards. And I think what was nice about it is we literally didn't know anything about each other. So it was like, okay, tell me about like where you live in California. Mm-hmm. Tell me about what it's like to live in California. What are some cool things about where you're from? And it wasn't this like super intense, deep theological, whatever. It was just, I want to know things about you because I know nothing about you.
Other than
you
the most that. Intense thing that we got to, I think we talked about who's your favorite saint? Or like, what are your favorite saints?
Yeah, it was very,
like that was like the most... The
very
deepest,
beautiful yeah. Franciscan yeah. first date
it was,
conversation.
Yeah. But then when we kept going on dates, like, I mean, you asked me, because I also was thinking, when are we going to go out another time? But then you asked me to this dance. That was maybe less than a week later.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went back to Pittsburgh, and that's when you said, I want to be your boyfriend. The tricky thing about when we first started dating was I was going away to be a Cove Crest missionary, to be a summer missionary. And so we'd kind of committed to writing letters to each other that summer while I was at Cove Crest. The crazy thing was that my birthday is May 11th, and I asked my dad for my birthday to buy me a plane ticket to go to California to visit Taylor over the summer. And y'all, he said, yeah. And I'm like, is my dad, is he okay?
All right?
Is he okay? But my dad was like, yeah, it sounds, actually, yeah, I really think this guy's awesome. Because he had met Taylor when they picked me up for
school.
That's
what I was going to ask. When did you meet Dad? How'd that go?
So it went well. Like her family was coming to pick her up for her birthday.
Like from this university.
Yeah, from Franciscan and to drive her back down. And so they knew that we were talking and that there was some level of, you know, dating going on.
And my dad was, like, ready to marry me off. He was like, yeah, let's get this going. Like, he was ready to, like, find me a man. But, I mean, and the cool thing was I asked him, like, hey, what do you think if I went to California? He's like, I think that's a great idea. And he said, you know what, let me actually look up, see if I have any Southwest airline points.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, and my plane ticket to California was $10.
Let's go.
Yeah.
To go to California. And that was where you asked me to be your girlfriend, officially. Yeah. And then we dated for...
And before we get there, I did ask your parents for... I like called them up and was like, is it okay if I date
Taylor?
Like,
Skyped my parents.
Skyped
my parents. And
I am
them.
So proud of this because I asked my wife's dad for permission to be her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not even, like, I just thought that's probably something I should do because Angie was the first girl who, like, was like, I don't know, I really viewed as someone who was like, this is a real thing. Like, I really like this girl, I'm on a date, this is going to be fun kind of thing. And I, like, didn't know how to do that. And I just seemed like something I should do. And I woke up, and me and a whole bunch of other college students were staying at their house for the Right to Life March. And she told me their dad got up at like 5:30 in the morning to go to work. So I woke up at like 5 and I take a shower and I get dressed in a button. And I'm sitting in the living room, like, waiting for him, pretending to read the newspaper. He didn't come downstairs until like 8:00. He didn't have work that day. And I sat there for hours. And then I asked him, and I thought, and once again, I had a lot of girlfriends, but they were not good relationships, right? They were just kind of gross, sort of very secular. And, like, I was so nervous. And he was like, oh, yeah, sure, that's fine. And he just, like, left out the door. I was like, okay, all right, cool. All right, sorry, that's really cool.
My mom tells a story. She's like, I was gripping your dad's leg under the table because they were like, what are we doing? Okay, yeah, please date her. And they were really impressed with that as well.
I think the big thing for me was just that clarity, that intentionality of even for the parents, like, hey, no, these are my intentions here, and I would like to be your boyfriend. Are you guys cool with that?
And just from a practicality standpoint, gentlemen, you get the most dad points in the world
totally.
For
yes.
that. Dad is like, oh, you respect me. You're being deferential to me, the father, who's the protector of this little girl.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we have about a minute and a half. Get married. Let's go.
Okay, we dated for 2 years. We did 8 months of long distance in Austria. So I was studying abroad in Austria. Taylor was back stateside. Taylor, you guys, ladies, Taylor worked a secret job that he didn't tell me about to get money to come and visit me in Austria on my 20th birthday.
Did it surprise you?
Surprised me.
He was in Austria and all of a sudden Taylor comes walking
up? And I literally thought I was going to pass out on the floor. And he came on the day of the Austria ball.
It was the phone-a-thon too. The worst thing for an introvert.
This man called people to raise money. Anyway, and that was one of the ways I was like, okay, this man definitely isn't it for me because he's here. So we dated long distance. We talked, I would say, in August of 2014 mm-hmm. about getting married for the first time. We like practically started saying, like, I want to marry you, and this is my timeline. And that May, we got engaged on May 1st, 2015.
I assume you asked Dad.
Yes.
I did.
For
yes.
marriage, yeah.
Actually, played Dad in chess.
And whoever
he
won.
Said, let's make this interesting. Whoever wins... Oh, let's put some stakes to it. And if you win, you can have my daughter's hand in marriage. And you can bet your bottom dollar I tried so hard in that game.
That is so cool. But your dad sounds awesome.
He's great. He's a really cool guy. I just love him so much. I really do. Yeah.
Now, that is an amazing story. And I think my biggest takeaway, and I think something everybody needs to hear, is that what you think is cheesy and hokey, 99 times out of 100, is actually wholesome and beautiful, and you're jaded and cynical, and stop it, right? Like, stop it. It's beautiful and good. All that stuff that is cheesy, romantic, whatever, is the most beautiful thing in the world. So embrace it. I think a great thing, I mean, it's frustrating, the culture that we live in, but I think a really good thing about it is that the person we really want to be deep down, right, is the person that our future spouse, if that's a vocation, really wants us to be.
Totally.
And we need to embrace that. All right, well, we are over time, so I'm gonna cut this short. But guys, thanks so much for being here. Really appreciate y'all's time. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlantis Catholic Radio. Signing off.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.